Good morning, visionaries. Before we begin our study this morning, there is a very important service announcement I need to make today. The convention has been sold out. Yes, 9 weeks ahead of our scheduled convention time, the Power of the Big Book that's coming in October has been sold out. This special announcement is an appeal to all fellows that already hold hotel accommodations at the Wyndham Hotel and the DoubleTree Hotel and have not registered for convention. We need to hear from you. If you know of anybody that has not registered for convention and has accommodations, please have them contact me, Melanie C., at 541-908-1221 Pacific Time. Again, we are sold out. If those that are registered at hotels have not registered for convention, we need to hear from you. Please let everyone know. Thank you.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Katie F. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, August 28, 2015. Today we are reading from the Big Book, Chapter 11, and we are at page 158, paragraph 3. Today's readers are Kim G., Amy E., and Sharon H. The reference number for Thursday, August 27th, is 7952. That's 7952. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Austin R. to read the 12 steps of OA. Please press star 1 to unmute.
Thank you, Katie. Good morning, and thank you for your service. This is Austin R., grateful compulsive eater from Massachusetts. Grateful compulsive eater. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. I will now ask Nancy S. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy S. from Wisconsin, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, as problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do this service at all.
Thank you, Nancy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 158, paragraph 3, and Kim G. will read two paragraphs, but our comments will be focused on the second paragraph. I will ask G. to begin reading.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, all. That afternoon, he put on his clothes and walked from the hospital a free man. He entered a political campaign, making speeches, frequenting men's gathering places of all sorts, often staying up all night. He lost the race by only a narrow margin, but he had found God, and in finding God, he found himself. That was June 1935. He never drank again. He, too, had become a respected and useful member of the community. He had helped other men recover and is a power in the church from which he was long absent. And good morning, everyone. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. And I'm going to concentrate on he helped other men recover. Because I have to tell you, I really thought that sponsoring or working with others was something only certain people did. You know, the people who were the gurus. I didn't realize that it wasn't optional. You know, in order to stay in this recovered state, I need to carry this message. So I just wanted to bring out a couple of the places in the Big Book where it really stresses that. So on page XVI in the forward to the second edition, it talks about Dr. Bob sobering up. It says, you know, he sobered up never to drink again to the moment of his death in 1950. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. And I don't know about you, but I want permanent recovery. I was sick and tired of having temporary respites, having periods of absence, and then going back to the food. You know, on page 89, the first sentence of Working with Others, it says, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. And I remember someone pointing out to me, practical experience in this book is not only what worked, what didn't work. So I also read that as practical experience shows them is that people who did not intensively work with others did not have permanent recovery. You know, on page 132, I remember this being pointed out to me as well. It says, we have recovered and we've been given the power to help others. But it was pointed out to me, we haven't been given the power to help ourselves. And that's why I have to live in these steps. This has to be a part of my DNA now, that living in these steps is the only chance I have of that mental twist staying away. Because being recovered to me today does not mean that I'm cured. The allergy is there. That is my permanent disability. And this recovered state of not wanting to eat, of being able, like this gentleman, to go and run for office and frequenting men's gatherings and being able to go anywhere on this earth as a free woman, is because the mental obsession has been removed, and that's of God, not of me. And it is serious business when they say a daily reprieve. You know, I have to say, I look a lot now at the warnings. The warnings in this book are telling us that we will drink again if we do not do this work. And we will drink again if we do not carry this message. Because what I have found is sitting in my room trying to say I'm powerless does not work. But teaching another compulsive overeater that they're powerless reinforces my powerlessness and my need for a power on a daily basis. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kim. Who would like to comment on that second paragraph?
Larry.
Hey, Larry. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Larry.
Thanks so much. Larry, recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. So, you know, I love these paragraphs. I love... you know, talking about Bill Dodson. You know, he was referred to as the man on the bed, you know, from that magazine story, that national magazine story at the time. And he was, of course, AA number 3, you know, and the history is important to me for a lot of reasons, but our history is very important to me because it puts things in context for me. And at the time of his death, Bill D, he had not had a drink in more than 19 years. You know, his date of sobriety was the day he entered that Akron hospital. After all, you know, he was hospitalized 8 prior times. And when he died, you know, on a Friday night, September 17th, 1954, in Akron, you know, it was interesting that Bill W. had said at the time that his spirit and works are today alive in the hearts of uncounted AAs. And you know, here we are this morning, and here we go. We're reading about his experience of transformation, of change, because that's what this program is. It's about change. And you see that the program is about identification, when all the while I thought I was terminally unique, you know, that my disease somehow was just unique to myself. And as long as I saw myself as unique within the disease, I don't know about you, but for me, I would continue to seek out my own ideas on how to solve this problem. And this was a problem for me that only could be solved if I had access to power, just like Bill D. Bill D could do nothing. 8 prior hospitalizations, you know, and really where I can identify with him, here we are in 2015, is I can identify the obviously when he was in the throes of his disease, the anger and the, you know, he beat up a nurse and all these things. Now, you know, I didn't do that, but I'll tell you what, I certainly beat people up with my tongue, you know, I chewed them up and spit them out and, you know, had a violent streak in me in that way. And, you know, I'm not that same person anymore. And the people that meet me today, you know, they couldn't imagine that I could be that way. But I was in my disease. I needed a power greater than myself, just like Bill D. And so the history is important, and just thank God for this program. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry. Who else would like to share on this second paragraph?
This is Janice.
Melissa C.
Okay.
Leah. Huh.
Okay, I have Janice M., Melissa C., and Leah M. Go ahead, Janice M.
Good morning, Kate. Good morning. This is Janice P., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So, you know, I love this story because we're talking about a real alcoholic in this story. You know, we're talking about a real alcoholic, and I don't know about you, but, you know, it's so good to hear and to see in these stories what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now for people. And here was a man who had begun to have this spiritual experience and now is following through on what happens when you have this spiritual experience. And what I found to be true for myself, and I think what I'm reading was true for this man, it says, and in finding God, he found himself. You know, he found God, and in finding God, he found himself. And what happens when that happens to you? You know, when you work the 12 steps, like I did, as if my life depended on it, what happens is you want to help other people. It becomes a pleasure and a privilege and an honor and a joy to help other people. Because, you know, I read that all over in the big book. That the lives of these men were utterly transformed. And my life was utterly transformed. Because it's a disease of perception. It's a disease of perception. And I had a very warped perception. You know, I thought it was all about me. And I was filled with 100 forms of fear. And I had many, many times of being doomed, feeling doomed, being disappointed with myself once again, couldn't trust myself anymore. I said I was going to stop eating compulsively, and I couldn't follow through. But something happened when I worked the 12 steps. I found that higher power that I needed all along. And AA and you all and this book didn't so much teach me that there was a God as taught me my need for God. And when I found that spiritual experience and began to live one day at a time in that spiritual experience, I wanted to help other people. I wanted to give to other people what had been so freely given to me. And that's what keeps me in that place of ease and comfort, that keeps me in that place one day at a time, no matter what life throws at you. No matter if you, like this man, you know, you try to run for political office and you lose. Well, you still have this wonderful experience and you live through things that are hard and challenging. So if you have not yet experienced that yourself and you're on your way, or you're listening on this line and you're not sure if this is for you, you know, if my experience proves anything, you know, if I can recover, you can recover. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Janice P. And our next person is Melissa C.
Hi, good morning. This is Melissa C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Never drank again, respected and useful. You know, that is the whole purpose for my permanent recovery, is to be useful to others, no matter what obstacles come my way. And, you know, what strikes me here in this story is, you know, how this man entered a political race. He made speeches. He must have, like, poured his heart and soul into what he wanted, and probably what he really believed was perhaps God's will for him, because he was living according to, you know, his belief in God. And, you know, so he's engaging in this campaign, and yet he lost, and he remained sober. You know, this is the very definition to me of what it means to be recovered, because when life does not unfold precisely the way that I want, it is no longer an acceptable response to run to the food for, you know, for solace, to make me feel better. And, you know, and why Is he able to remain sober even when he didn't win this political campaign? You know, why am I able to remain food sober and abstinent when life does not happen the way I want? It's because we're working with other people. You know, he helped other people recover. And, you know, I know for myself that the things that I say to people that I'm working with, that I'm helping, you know, God really helps put those words into my mouth because I need to hear them too. You know, that's really the key here is that, you know, I say the very things that helped me and continue to help me. And, you know, and when I give myself over to that, that this whole process is about being useful and not about fitting into a smaller size jeans just for the sake of my ego, but so that I have a message to carry that I can help other people recover. You know, that's what hopefully is what gives me immunity from my compulsion. And, you know, it's just, it's a beautiful thing to have this fellowship that seems to be growing all around me as well. You know, the more I pour into helping others, the more I have a recovered state. Thank you with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa. Leah M., you're up.
Thank you very much, Katie. He never drank again. You know, what a dramatic story we've been studying the past few days. I mean, it really is incredible. I mean, here was this fellow, you know, locked up 8 times within 6 months, you know, highly intelligent, has a family, you know, has a good career, and yet, you know, was devastated by the progression of this illness. Surely, you know, Bill D. did not know what he was up against. Surely he did not understand the depths to which this disease would drag him. And yet, you know, after Bill W. and Dr. Bob gave him the real medical business about an allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, that there was a specific you know, path, a spiritual experience, awakening that needed to occur in order to recover, that, you know, that worked. You know, that worked. It worked. It worked now, you know, in 1935. It worked when they penned, you know, rarely have we seen a person fail. And that's as true today as it was then. Except to get to the punchline, you have to read further that statement, right? Rarely have we seen a person fail that has thoroughly followed our path. But it does work. I mean, you know, let that be a declaration to anybody out there who is still in bondage with this disease of compulsive overeating. I mean, if you have your big book in front of you, you know, pop open to the title page, Alcoholics Anonymous, the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. These men and women who were, you know, either going insane or locked up to never see the light of day anymore, were released from the chains of their addiction and set free. You know, take a look at page 17, you know, where it says, well, you know, the first page, I'm sorry, there's a solution, you know, where it says, 17, they have solved the drink problem. I mean, can you get more hope and possibility than that? But that's the secret of these 12 steps, that yes, it's possible. It was possible for me. It's possible for you to be able to effectuate such a dramatic change in personality, character, and values and become free. And this book is designed to bring about that experience. That book, this book that we study every day, is designed to bring about an experience through the application of these steps in proper sequence where you are recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And then, of course, we've got more work to do, right? Because for us, if we neglect those who are still sick, there's danger to our own life and sanity. So it's under self-preservation and a duty and love that we continue to carry this message. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah. Okay, last call on commenting on this paragraph.
Sharon H. in Colorado.
Reva P.
Okay, we'll go.
This is Bella. Can I share?
Yes, Bella. Okay, so we will have Sharon H., Reva P., Vasa O., and Bella G., and then we will move on to the next paragraph after that. Go ahead, Sharon H.
Oh, thank you, Katie. This is Sharon H., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Thank you, God. And I, too, just love this story and how it unfolds in these few pages to us. And, you know, even though it kind of lays it out like day one, two, three, he came to the conclusion and was totally convinced that he did have this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and was willing to do whatever was required in order to be set free from that bondage. He had a long period of history where he struggled, in fact, even in the last 6 months, 8 times he was locked up for alcoholism. So this just unfolds like a miracle, and it means so much to me because I was one of those who struggled for so many years and had those temporary respites. I could get abstinent, but I couldn't stay abstinent. So then to see this process of God doing what only God can do, moving in the heart and the mind of a person, and as a result of two men, Bill W. and Dr. Bob, giving up their time and their experience of, you know, the medical business of what this disease will do to you and will continue to do to you if you don't see it for what it is. And then I love, too, that so he puts his clothes on, walks out of the hospital a free man, and enters his political campaign, doesn't win, and he goes to all sorts of places, men gathering places, often staying up all night. Well, probably a lot of those gathering places of men, there was alcohol involved, but he had been set free from that. So he didn't even, that wasn't anymore on his radar that, oh, how come I can't have a drink? Or, oh, I'm around all this alcohol, I got to have a drink. That had been removed from him. He had found God, and in finding God, he had found himself. And that just means so much to me today because it took me so long to see that for what it was, and now, by God's grace, I too live free and abstinent 1 day at a time. And I'm so grateful to OA Vision for you, for God using this program to shine that light into my still closed mind. I had failed so often, I just didn't think it would ever happen, but it did. And I am just here to share with those of you out on the line that have been struggling for a long time, this truly does work. It worked because I was willing to use this book just like a textbook and follow its directions precisely, like it says on one of the first pages in this book. That's why they wrote the book. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Katie.
Star one, Katie.
Okay, sorry. Reva P., you're up.
Good morning. This is Reva P., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto. This paragraph reminds me, first of all, of the paradoxes in the program. He could not stop drinking in spite of fantastic medical care and being a smart guy with all kinds of degrees and lawyer training. And here he never drank again. He was feeling useless and feeling like he was a nobody, and here he's respected and useful. He couldn't even help himself, let alone anybody else, and here he's helping other men. He had no power, and now he is a power in his community and church. That this program and working the steps takes me from a place of utter defeat, utter helplessness, powerlessness, and transforms that and turns it around into the opposite. The paragraph also reminds me of the promises of the program where he is this useful person, which reminds me that it's God's power working through me that helps me be useful. And helping other men recover is a reminder to me that I'm not helping other people recover by doing therapy with them, by fixing them, by solving their problems. I'm helping them recover by just relaying the message and outlining how the program of action works, which I need to remind myself on a daily basis who I am and what I need to do every 24 hours to stay in this fit spiritual condition. Yesterday, I just want to share, I woke up. It was one of those step one mornings where I just felt utterly powerless. And this is not easy, but it's very simple. I did the do things. I did my, you know, step 10, which was a mini, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then I was able to be useful to people, not only in program, but my family. And what a transformation just within that 124 hours when I felt so defeated, even after I listened to the meeting yesterday morning. So it works, and it is very simple. It's not easy, but it's very simple. Follow the instructions, and we can all get what he has in this paragraph. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Reva. Vasa O, you're up.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie, for your service, and good morning, everyone. And I am Vasa O, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Massachusetts, and I just love reading the stories in the big book. I had a long history of a long history with the food addiction, and I could not put it down. And again, I tried so many times. I couldn't do it by myself, and I loved reading again in the big book. I started identifying with the people, you know, the allergy, the mental obsession, and the solution in the 12 steps. I was just so grateful to find the solution after trying for so long, so many years. And yes, on page 60, I remember reading this part. We were alcoholics that could not manage our lives, that probably no human power could have relieved our, you know, food or alcoholism, that God could and would if we were sought. And I was ready and I was willing to whatever, surrender, Vasa, you know. And that was the beginning, really, the beginning of my new life with having a relationship with God. And like it says here, that was June 1935, he never drank again. And I remember I did mark my day when I became abstinent. It was October 25th, 1986. And I never went back to those certain foods that I thought I could never live without them for the rest of my life. And I'm so grateful for my sobriety, you know, for all those years. And then helping others, you know. I remember in those days, you know, I never thought I could help anybody, you know, especially with the food, you know. And I'm just so grateful I can help another sufferer today, because I understand what it is to suffer and the pain to go through, you know, the withdrawals and the pain and the suffering that we experience being in the food, the physical, you know, the emotional and the spiritual. And I'm just so grateful I can help others today. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Bella, you're up.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Bella G, and I'm a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. Wow, such wonderful and powerful paragraph. He too has become a respected and useful member of his community. Yes, me too. Me too. I came, thank God, to this place. You know, as soon as I found God, a loving and accepting father a loving power, I found myself. And I found myself, it means that I started to trust myself. I started to accept that I am human, and therefore I have my limitations. I don't know everything, and I don't have to know everything. And I am always here to learn new things. And by accepting myself as human, I live in a healthy relationship with the community, relationship in my job, relationship with my family. And what means relationship? To give and to get. I cannot get if I don't give, and I cannot give if I don't get. And today I don't want to live anymore isolated and alone. Today I am not self-centered anymore. Today I know that, yes, I can give. I can give without being approved, without being judged. Yes, I can give, and also I can get. I can get from other people because I am not looking for the power. I don't want to know everything and to say, oh, you, there is something that I don't know and you know. Yes, I don't know everything. And today I live in to give and to get and to give, and to share my experience, strength, and hope, and to accept your experience, strength, and hope. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. And Amy E., will you please read the next two paragraphs?
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Great, thanks. Amy E., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. So you see, there were three alcoholics in that town who now felt they had to give to others what they had found or be sunk. After several failures to find others, a fourth turned up. He came through an acquaintance who had heard the good news. He proved to be a devil-may-care young fellow whose parents could not make out whether he wanted to stop drinking or not. They were deeply religious people, much shocked by their son's refusal to have anything to do with the church. He suffered horribly from his sprees, but it seemed as if nothing could be done for him. He consented, however, to go to the hospital where he occupied the very room recently vacated by the lawyer. He had three visitors. After a bit, he said, "The way you fellows put this spiritual stuff makes sense. I'm ready to do business. I guess the old folks were right after all." So one more was added to the fellowship. So just to back up, Bill W. is taking great lengths to describe how the fellowship started to spring up among them. I'm setting my timer here. Because he wants people to know how what's going to happen to them as they stay sober. The whole point of this chapter in A Vision for You, this section here that we've been reading, is page 153, perhaps the best way of treating you to a glimpse of your future will be to describe the growth of the fellowship among us. So here they are with alcoholic number four, and I wanted to drill down on the second paragraph. The way you fellows put this spiritual stuff makes sense. What is it that Bill and Dr. Bob and Bill D. said to Alcoholics Anonymous number four that made sense? Go back to page 92 through 94, where it's talking about giving precise instructions about the way we are to approach our prospect in working with others. We are satisfied that they are a real compulsive overeater. We begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady, page 92. We continue to speak of compulsive overeating as an illness, a fatal malady. And then page 93, tell him exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he live by spiritual principles. So that is what was appealing to Alcoholics Anonymous number 4. Here's a guy who grew up with deeply religious parents. Page 93 goes on to talk about that. Your prospect may belong to a religious denomination. His religious education and training may be far superior to yours. In that case, he's going to wonder how you can add anything to what he already knows. Perhaps your story will help him see where he has failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. So dwelling on the malady and then dwelling on the spiritual nature of our recovery, the fact that God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves, and that we are free to choose our own concept of God, that is what made sense to Alcoholics Anonymous number 4. I pass.
Thank you so much, Amy. Who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Marcella.
Okay, Marcella. Anyone else? Press star 1. Okay, go ahead, Marcella.
Good morning, and thank you. My name is Marcella. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I see myself in this story because I was raised by a very religious family. And our religion and our faith was not mainstream in the country in which I was born. And so when I came to the Big Book and to the world of addiction with the intention to recover, I also thought, like, what are you going to teach me? I know a lot. And especially, I already have a relationship with God. I thought I had a very good relationship with a creator because religiously I spent a great amount of time giving him precise instructions of how he should do in my life and in the life of others. And I have a decent theoretical religious education. I have a lot of information, but I didn't have the living experience of a loving creator that enables me to stop eating. I thought that the matters of food intake and shape and diet and BMI and grams of carbs and size and obesity was just too banal for the creator of the universe. And I also thought that what I ate had nothing to do with God and my performance under the eyes of God. And now that I'm recovered, and as I keep studying this process in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I realize that every single bite that I take either takes me closer to the God of my understanding or farther away to the God of my understanding. Why? Because I have an addiction. I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm going to die that way. So the act of eating, total as a religious, as a spiritual, as a relevant spiritual action, makes tons of sense now. And now I was raised in a faith, in a practice that we were supposed to bless the beginning of a meal and the end of a meal, but I could never do that because my meal had no beginning and no end. They had a beginning, but they never had an end. So now everything makes sense. My meals have a beginning and an end, and then I can do God's will in my life when it's not related to food, and then I can eat as if eating and the amount that I eat and the quality of the food that I eat and the combination that I eat and the frequency in which I eat matters in the realm of my relationship with a higher power and the way that it's going to impact my relationships with everybody else. Thank you for letting me share with that.
Thank you so much, Marcella. Who else would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Rachel W.
Mary B.
Okay, Rachel W. and Mary B. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Rachel W.
Well, good morning, and good morning, Katie. Thank you so much for your service, and good morning, everyone that's on the line today. Just focusing in on the sentence, the way you fellows put the spiritual stuff makes sense. Another reminder that I have to be walking the walk and talking the talk, you know, that that anyone who's inspired me in this program has that authenticity of working those steps and living by those principles. And you know, it's for me, when I look back into the relapse that thank God I got out of, I realized that this was one of the reasons why was because I was not walking my walk or talking my talk. And earlier on, when it says that they felt that they had to give to others what they had found or be sunk, well, it was really hard for me to give away my program when it wasn't authentic. You know, I was fighting this battle. I was fighting this war with conventional weapons, like the tools, the program, which I don't negate, but, you know, that's all that I was really kind of doing. And I thought I was enlarging my spiritual base. But in the meantime, my enemy was in the cage with those bars, you know, of the cage being the tools that I thought I was strengthening them and keeping that disease, at bay. And yet somehow it got out. And after I relapsed, you know, I felt like a general having to go back to my drawing board with my troops and say, what happened? Like, how did this happen on our watch? I was in OA. I was doing the tools. I was sponsoring. I even began meetings. And after, you know, and I want to just send a message out there to keep coming back. You know, all of you on the line, silent binging, I was there once as well. And I want to tell you that, you know, the idea is just to keep coming back, because that's what I did. I just kept coming back as that confused general, you know, like, how'd this happen to my troops that we got overtaken? And one day, you know, and I felt defeated, completely defeated. And I felt like my journey didn't even matter anymore. I felt like an OA failure. And one day, and this woman's on the line right now, I think she's usually on the line, but she knows who she is. She and I had a conversation where she kind of lifted the veil and showed me that it was all a sham. And today I fight this war on a nuclear level. I've gone nuclear. My weapons are a lot different than they used to be. And part of my most beloved and my most favorite one is this meeting and all of you on the line here. But it's definitely been, you know, immersing myself more in the big book, more in the steps, you know, on a much more pure level, and giving it away. And thank God I can give away such beautiful, you know, ideas and concepts and such hope and encouragement, because that's what I got from the people that inspired me. So thank you so much for allowing me to share, and have a great day, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mary B., it's your turn.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your service, and thank you everyone who has shared this morning. Wonderful meeting. I am Mary B. I am recovered for today in Central California. And so one more was added to the fellowship. And he was brought in by people who worked their program and presented to him precisely as they had worked it and as they had recovered. And I get a couple of meditations sent to me in my email every day. And the other day there was an article attached to one of them called Gresham's Law in AA. And it's outside literature, so I'm not going to get into it. But the gist of it is how these early people recovered. And when Bill W. was writing this book, and he was talked into adding the word suggested, a suggested program of recovery. And of course, we've heard, and I've heard so many times about the pro and con, about whether or not he would have changed. Rarely have we seen a person fail to never have we seen a person fail. And some say yes, some say no. Doesn't matter. I know that in my years in OA, well, for one thing, our founder in the first couple of years took out the word God because she felt that more people would be attracted to the program if that word was taken out. And by the time I came in 2 years later, he was back in the room, thank heavens. Anyway, the gist of the article was the watering down of the program over the years. And I know in OA what I heard was take what you like and leave the rest. And what I liked was losing weight. I just wanted to lose weight. I didn't want to be transformed. I thought that if my body was transformed, the rest of me would automatically be transformed. And so I did what one of you calls the OA waltz, the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and I did 1, 2, 3, and 12. 1, 2, 3, and 12. And so many of the things that, you know, just stay abstinent and go to meetings, things like that. And when I was reading this article, I thought, boy, you know, this really explains why a vision for you is so effective. And that's because there's no nonsense here. That's what I not only heard but didn't hear when I called in to these meetings a year ago. No nonsense. You do it. You do it all. You do it exactly as it's laid out in this book, and you will recover from a hopeless state of mind and body. Thank you very much for letting me share this morning.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, we have time for one or two more, if you'd like to jump in here.
Hi, this is Nicole.
Okay, Kim and Nicole, and then we'll be done. Thank you. Kim G., go ahead. I thought that was Kim. Nicole, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is Chris. Nicole. Did you want me to go?
And who is the other one?
It was Chrissy M.
Oh, Chrissy M. Okay. Chrissy M. and then Nicole. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chrissy M., recovered compulsive overeater and anorexic from New Jersey. And for me, I have to say, I feel very fortunate that I was able to see that all of my attempts at solving my life problems failed. And so I was at that place where when I had the fortunate circumstance of having an aunt get sobriety, it really opened up my whole world because I knew how powerless she was. Even if I didn't see my own powerlessness over the food, I saw that alcohol had her down. And so when I saw her, I mean, God works in mysterious ways. I didn't have someone come into a room to talk to me when I was down and beaten. I was down and beaten, and it was the demonstration of seeing in living action, in real life, in real time, seeing a woman transformed from the hopelessness of addiction and get recovered. I saw my aunt get recovered, and I thank you, God, I really related, even though it was alcohol, I related with the addiction, and I went to AA, and, you know, it for me, my God removed for me the desire to binge there, and I stopped drinking, and, you know, my story unfolds from there. But for me, that to know, you have to know what it's like to be trapped in addiction and be truly powerless, and to see someone and to know the truth about the sameness of who they are, and to see them rise above, to know that it's possible for you. And that's what they were able to communicate. That's what we have to be able to communicate to people. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Nicole, you're up.
Hi, this is Nicole S., a recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. Thank you so much for your service today. And I really like where this says that he suffered horribly from his grief, but it seemed as if nothing could be done for him. And that's where I really felt I was at, and just horrible suffering from a binge and purge episode. And I remember one time that I counted how long it took me to feel better from that, and it was about 30 hours, and just, you know, felt so hopeless, couldn't put the food down, couldn't stop. And it's just when it says down here that he says, I'm ready to do business, that's what it finally took me. And I was finally ready to do whatever it took and to follow the directions of my sponsor and just do whatever it took. I was in a hopeless state and just suffering horribly and wanting to get out, and felt just, I remember the night before I started my the process that brought recovery, I talked to my mom and just was in tears and just hopelessness. I just, if this doesn't work, there's nothing out there that's going to work. And she told me this will work. And what it took to getting to that point of utter hopelessness and just really ready to do business and really ready to let God be in charge of my life and me no longer running the show. So this program does work, and I'm living proof of that, and I just thank you, God, and thank you, everybody out there who has helped me with this, with my recovery, because it certainly hasn't been done on my own, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Okay, thank you to everyone who has shared. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sharon H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. This is Sharon H., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Thank you, God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, pass.